This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you for joining Baseball Outside the Box. You're probably looking behind me wondering, where is Caliendo at? Well, Caliendo is at his mom and dad's house painting. But this show was too important, and I wanted to really make sure we got the show in because I think it's an up-and-coming baseball country. Folks, before we start, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's where the audio is going to be, and also the video at YouTube, Peter Caliendo. All we ask is that you subscribe to both. That really helps us out. Share the show with all the people you know in the game of baseball. I want to thank all our audience in the U.S. around the world. Over 100 countries we have where people are listening to the show, and we are very proud of it, and that's because of you, all the listeners. So thank you very much. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get right to the show. I am excited here because, you know, I've been there twice to New Zealand, and let me tell you, they got great athletes, great program. We did a couple coaching programs there. Love the guys and gals there, and I want to introduce you to the CEO of Baseball New Zealand, John Follett. John, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Peter. Thank you for this interview.
No, are you kidding? Thank you, because, you know, we want to share with people, with our audience all over the world, what baseball is really going on. So many countries. I believe it's over 140 countries playing baseball in New Zealand. I want to give a little background. First, let's give a quick background on yourself a little bit. I know you have some business background, but how you became CEO and what's happened so far in baseball in New Zealand.
Born and raised in the Phoenix, Arizona market. Went to high school there, played junior college there, and then after my university degree, got right back into coaching right away, American Legion back then. I'm not sure what they play now, all these travel leagues. And then about 30 years ago, I talked my wife into coming down to New Zealand, and how I did it was telling her that they have no baseball down in New Zealand, and I'll be home for dinner every night. And and we moved down here, and within a year, I couldn't stand anymore, so I helped start Baseball New Zealand down here, and we've been growing steadily ever since.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, folks, if you haven't been to New Zealand, we've been there twice, but I was there with my wife, and this is not because John's on the show. I've said this many times in other areas. We took some tours. Later on, we took some time off, John. We went down south, and I mean, just beautiful country, and let me tell you, some of the nicest people I've ever met anywhere in the world. So polite, always willing to help. Just great people. So I really enjoyed it in New Zealand. Look forward to coming back. John, great. Listen, some of your business background helps in what you're doing also now, right?
That's right. I mean, I came down for an 18-month assignment to start Sky TV, which was a satellite-delivered pay television operation, like DirecTV and in the States. And then, you know, fell in love with it and been, you know, was there for 30 years, 20 years, the last 20 years as the CEO. And as you know, pay TV in the sports is heavily, pay TV in the States is heavily devoted to sports. And I kind of converted Sky into that. So all the major sports, rugby's the number one sport, that went to Sky, and cricket, that went to Sky, and rugby league, which is kind of a version of rugby, also went to Sky, and netball, which is a kind of a version of basketball, and then started picking up all the other sports. Meanwhile, I had always, the first event I ever saw on my platform was a Major League Baseball game. So they had the rights to MLB before I got here, but we've expanded those rights.
And folks, so you know, today, well, it is different time zone in New Zealand, but today's John's birthday, so got to wish you happy birthday.
Well, I'm thank sure you. Yeah, you may have your editor have to. I've got two grandchildren, the 6-year-old left-hander. I envision seeing her as a middle infielder eventually, and a 2-year-old right-hander may break into the room. So prepare your editor if that happens.
No problem. We love having kids on the show, so that's not a problem at all. Folks, by the way, I want to mention another great baseball area, Canada. I've got my BC baseball coaches shirt on. We do a lot of work in BC baseball. Great organization, youth organization, over 20,000 players. But John, the other thing, you know, when you talk about, and I want to get into the system as far as the levels of baseball and the kids playing and all that, how it's developed, we'll get into that. But I wanted to ask, you know, from your business side, when you're talking about Skynet, you know, a big part of developing a sport in New Zealand, and by the way, folks, John mentioned rugby, you know, the All Blacks, a very famous rugby team. Their book, one of the best books on culture, you know, I think it's an outstanding book. You can really learn. I know they've hired some people from the All Blacks into professional baseball also to help with the culture of sports. But when you develop a sport like that, in New Zealand, you obviously have to try to attract kids to get to play the game, but you also need finances, and then this is where a lot of your business side comes in. Let's talk about that side first, how you raise the money, and now there's a pro league there, and I think that's going to really help develop the sport at the higher level.
Yes, great point. I mean, baseball, as you probably know more than anybody else, is not the cheapest sport to start. You need a sizable field, much bigger than, say, you know, a basketball court or something like that. The equipment's not cheap. We have to import everything in. So money has always been the issue. We just gradually kept plugging away from hot dog sales to raffle tickets and that sort of thing. And eventually we have 20 clubs in New Zealand. Unlike the United States, it's a club-based system. And so in the U.S., I would have played for my grade school too. You know, I was good enough to play on the high school and the junior college. Here, baseball does not have recognized in the schools, and so we play through a club system. There's 20 clubs in New Zealand. Probably 10 of them are in Auckland area on the North Island, and then the rest are split between Christchurch and Wellington, the capital of New Zealand. And so we continue to grow the game every day. We attract new members to it, and it's a real uphill fight, but we're getting there. And finally, a big breakthrough was getting a professional team based in Auckland. The Australian Baseball League has been going. Australia is very strong in baseball, as you know, Peter. Lots of major leaguers they produce. And so we've got into their professional league. And it's made up of a large number of American imports, but they have to have, I think, at least five Kiwis. And we hope to continue to grow that as our stocks get better and better.
Absolutely. You know, that's a great point. You know, when you do have a pro team like that, that gives, you know, a goal for young kids. You know, they have a goal to reach later on. Some of them obviously going to high school in the U.S. Some have gone to college in the U.S. And then you got now a pro team in your area. What the biggest struggle, obviously, is trying to get kids to play the game. So now you've got the top part, but you also have the lower part, which is so critical, and that's the development of the young kids. That's getting them to play the sport. What are some of the things, I guess, because, you know, there's some really good athletes in New Zealand. That's what I saw, and I know a lot of people know that. And once you've got great athletes, you can really start developing into the sport. But you got to get them young because you've got to get them understanding the game a little bit. So what are some of the things that can help other countries? Some of the things maybe you guys might be doing to attract these kids because they're, you know, they might want to play other sports.
Well, look, probably some of the biggest breakthroughs we had was inviting players to come down. Maybe they'd finished their college career. They weren't quite good enough to go into pro bowl, but they loved the game and wanted to see the world a little bit. And so, as you know, Peter, all around the world, there's all sorts of practically every league has Americans playing in them, and it's a great opportunity to come down. We typically cut some sort of a deal at the club level where they can play for our club, but we also want them to coach our younger grades, and that's huge because they, you know, just something about hearing that American accent raises the acceptance level probably for these kids. I guess it's like getting soccer coaches from Scotland or something like that. But so they do a great job. And it was really interesting to me. I also coached basketball, high school basketball, or I did till recently. And I can remember when we got a first professional basketball team in the league, and I was coaching at this high school, and I had 9 guys try out. And then over that year, we got a professional team, The next year I come back and about 30 young men try out for the team. You know, it's just something about elevating that they can see that there's alternatives to rugby and cricket for sports that they want to play. And we're seeing the same thing with the Tuatara. So it's a combined pincher movement, I guess, where we really work on the youth at the same time, try and develop the opportunities up above. And we've got probably 20 kids playing everything from NAIA ball to Div 1. We've got we've had two New Zealanders make it as high as Triple A, and then we have two New Zealanders playing currently, Kyle Gagoski in the Phillies organization and Ben Thompson in the Braves, and they're in the lower, I might guess, Single A, Double A level, and we're looking. New Zealand has their first NBA player, Steve Adams, plays for the Pelicans, and we're looking for our Steve Adams moment. Once we get that first player in the major leagues, then I think it will be a real dream of all New Zealand kids that play baseball to make it to the major league. It won't seem impossible like it is now.
Absolutely. You get that first big league. I remember Yao Ming in China. Boy, the sport exploded when Yao Ming got into the NBA. And I could see that in baseball. You know, the other aspect also, do you go into the schools to promote the game, or is there other areas how you actually kind of let the kids know about the sport?
That's probably the best recruiting tool for the clubs, that they get a senior player who maybe is going to university, or one of those American players that are down for the year, like I told you. We bring them into the school. We kit them out in uniforms. They play baseball. We're looking at trying, it looks like there's a good chance we can get a sport called Baseball 5, which is a kind of a cross between almost like wiffle ball that we played indoors during the cold seasons. And the schools seem more willing to accept that. And so once we get them in that, then it's a much smaller step to get them into baseball. Softball is quite strong, fast pitch. I think after World War II, a lot of the American Marines and whatnot left their gear behind. And so softball actually was picked up first by New Zealand before baseball, and they've done quite well. They've had a couple of World Cups, and the women do quite well. So there's a as you know, it's the smallest transition of all to cricket. Going from cricket to baseball is a challenge. Going to softball to baseball typically is not a challenge.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned your coaching background. One of the things I was thinking about, and I wasn't aware of this at all, so I'm not even sure I'm going to ask you this. You know, cricket, do young kids play cricket in New Zealand when they you know, first start playing a sport? And if they do, that's got to help a little bit if they do go over and kind of play, you know, decide to play baseball.
It is. I mean, similar. It's interesting now. The National Cricket Association is actually using baseball players to help them on throwing. So we've got a couple of coaches that also get paid by the Cricket Association to throw, because something we do a lot more in baseball than they do in cricket. And probably the greatest marketing tool I can ever have is having a baseball game, let's say T-ball or, you know, under 12, right next to a cricket match. The cricket match goes all day, and the baseball is done in an hour and a half, and the parents are wondering, you're gonna play that sport next year, son. And so my Saturdays aren't completely wiped out. So we look for any trick we can.
You know, I never thought about that. That might be the first time a recruiting tool is the shortage of the game of baseball. Because, you know, as you know, in the U.S., we're trying to shorten the game, at least Major League Baseball is, because it's way too long. So, that's very interesting. We're flipping that whole side upside down. The other area, I wanted to discuss is, you know, you guys have done this, obviously, for several years. ISG, we were very fortunate the last couple of years to come down and, you know, just put a training program for coaches. You know, if you've got really good coaches, especially at the grassroots level, that really helps the development of the sport, because kids can enjoy it more. Talk about how important that is to New Zealand baseball, educating coaches.
You know, it really is. And that's probably the biggest challenge we have, that it's okay to bring in overseas coaches, but they only come in for a short period of time. Your group came in for a couple of weeks and really helped us. And then these American imports that we bring in help us for a season But it's really important as these kids sign up for T-ball is to go to the parents and encourage them to help coach and umpire. Umpire is a huge tough obstacle to come overcome because of the challenges of making calls like that. So we spend a lot of time at the youth level where it's least confrontational to become a coach and become umpires, and then try to bring them along. And so we've got our own coaching accreditation program now, a lot based on the USAA baseball. Mm-hmm. They've been very kind to us and work with us and allow us to use a great deal of their collateral materials. And so that helps, because then the kids are learning something from the very start, as opposed to just looking like it's a goof-off period and the coach doesn't know much more than the players do.
Absolutely. You know what? And USA Baseball has been. They've been helping a lot of countries around the world. They got a great program when it comes to education. It's all online. It's all free. So we encourage not just, our coaches in New Zealand, obviously, are following the program. We encourage coaches all over the world to go to USA Baseball website and check it out. The other thing you mentioned was Baseball 5. And then, I'm on a technical committee for the World Baseball Softball Confederation. So, folks, Baseball 5 is a game in which where you play 5-on-5, you bounce the ball and hit it with your hand. Doesn't take equipment. I want to make sure you go to WBSC.org, check it out, because, remember, and John, you and I know this as coaches, right? And when we were kids, if you show baseball to kids right away and when they first start, they're going to get turned off because you're standing around way too much. But when you show them something like Baseball 5, hardly any equipment because it's all with the hands. It's a softer ball. You only have to bounce it, then hit it. It's a smaller feel, a lot more fun, a lot more action. And as a coach, that kids, especially in baseball, if you're playing hockey, basketball, other sports, there's always action going on. And baseball, in baseball, there's a standstill sport, and kids are bored when they're standing still too long. So kudos to you guys for introducing not only the Baseball 5, but also a program internally in New Zealand that coaches get training from. Like you said, not just people that come from the outside, but also internally having your own system.
Yes, we just finished the under-19 National Club Championships yesterday. And we just don't allow coach, if you want to enter a team, you've got to have a level one coach in the dugout. And coaches, there's a bit of resentment. Why I came in enough to baseball, why do I have to devote a weekend to go get qualified? I've been coaching for 10 years, but it just adds that professionalism to them, and they understand what we're trying to do, and we work with how to develop baseball in the future. So we turn them from hesitant to real converts real quickly once they get that level one.
A great, great point. I understand that very well, because even in the U.S., we've done many training programs early on, especially in the U.S., right? Because parents, we know the game. We watch it on television. I played it in high school. But as we all know, just because you know the game doesn't mean you know how to teach it. And secondly, folks, and I'm talking to the people all over the world because they're always trying to learn something. We all know that one of the main reasons that kids drop out early, even before 12 years old, is because they're not having fun and they don't like the coach. Well, that's a big part of it. And we need to make sure if we're going to have these kids long term. And I know, folks, you're going to give me excuses about videos and other things to do. I get all that. But if they really love baseball and they're enjoying it, they'll stay to play 15, 16. If they got goals like in New Zealand where there's a pro team, you get a chance maybe go to college or high school in the U.S. and play ball. There's all, that kid's excited and keeps them in the game. So, John, I think you guys are doing awesome. Let me ask you this. What are some of the things you guys are working on, I guess, for the future to help develop the sport and grow it more in New Zealand?
Look, one of the goals we've always had is to try and get as many players either into the college, U.S. college system, or the professional system. And before, it used to be me calling a scout up in Sydney and saying, look, I got this kid who's pitched 3 no-hitters in a row. Can you, fly over? You can stay at my house. You need to go out and check this kid out. And nowadays, they basically tell me, hey, unless I've got video on them and I've got some Rapsodo data, we don't have a chance. So we're looking at trying to get some more of the technology in so we can start measuring this. And it's almost used as college recruitment material now. Mm-hmm. With the system coach, you have a you get a video, and down at the bottom of the video shows launch angle and exit velocity and all that on the TrackMan. And I just use those two. I'm sure there's four or five different competitors. But you send that out to the colleges, and now all of a sudden, the tyranny of district, distance isn't quite as bad. And they can see it along with the kid, the data they got from a kid from two blocks away. And we leveled the odds a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and using the technology, because you can get reports also from organizations in the States about even at 12 years old, 13, 14, yeah. 15, measuring those metrics to show the kids in New Zealand, well, you know, here's a 12-year-old average. Here's what they do average. They run this speed. Maybe they throw this hard or they throw these many strikes. You know, and it's always good for kids to see so that way they can measure themselves and then understand, how am I going to get better? So I love the technology part that you guys are bringing in.
Yes. It's interesting because there's a sense of isolation in New Zealand. I read an article that said New Zealanders had one of the highest propensities for passports because they get isolated here and they want to measure themselves, be it in business or music or anything with their compatriots around the world. And they're desperate. We probably have a larger international travel budget than any other organizations on a percentage basis of our resources, just because they need to go offshore to compete. So Australia provides a great opportunity. Oceania baseball through WBSC is we have to get through to get to, you know, Asia, or, you know, even Little League, we have to you know, typically get through an Asian qualifying tournament before you get to go to Williamsport. We've had two teams, senior league teams, make it to the World Series so far.
That's great stuff. Love to hear that. And I was just thinking, as you were mentioning, we're talking about Major League Baseball too, because, you know, they're starting to get measurements of kids at 15, 16, 14. When they get those statistics, you know, now if they start to see those statistics being pretty good, they may send even more scouts and more teams may start coming to New Zealand. Everybody knows the great athletes there. John, the other aspect of all this, and you mentioned it, is your national teams, because you have national teams at certain ages that are going to compete, whether it be in Asia or whether it be in the World Cup, and they have already and done well. Talk about the national team a little bit.
Well, we were probably the biggest disappointment in baseball last year was with COVID. We were off to our World Baseball Classic qualifying match in Tucson. And two or three days before we took off, we pulled, because a Major League Baseball had shut down the minor league spring training camps. And so we were off to do that. And that looked like our best team. We'd gotten a bunch of, you know, our two or three professional players released to be able to participate. And we had a half a dozen, I mean, more kids were coming, or young men were coming from probably overseas than they were coming from New Zealand, just because with the college system and the pros. Mm-hmm. And it's a, and so at the top level of the game, that's great. And the name of the national team is the Diamond Blacks. You know, kind of a playoff on the All Blacks. And then we also compete at the WBSC offers that great opportunity for us to really advance. And I'd have to go back and look at the rankings. I want to say we're in the low 20s right now, which is amazing accomplishment for a country of only 4 to 5 million, 4 to 5 million, that, you know, just picked up baseball 30 years ago. So I'm real pleased with our growth so far.
Yeah, that's incredible. Let me tell you, 30 years only, and we're talking about roughly, I think you may have mentioned, I apologize if I didn't catch it, in the whole country, we're talking about everybody that plays baseball, approximately how many people?
There'd be about 20 clubs and probably about 300 or 400 kids, from tee bowlers to adult men, and we also have a social side. So 400 times 20, probably about 8,000 players that own a glove and a bat and know how to play the game.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, 8,000, and you've got a pro league, you're playing in a World Baseball Classic. And by the way, folks, World Baseball Classic, and I was on my way there also to see you guys. But here's another goal. New Zealand gets to play in the World Baseball Classic. Now kids see that, and boy, they're like, wow, maybe that might be me one day. And remember, that's a national team, so those are New Zealand kids. To where your pro league sometimes is going to be a mix, as you mentioned. So I think that's awesome. And the other part, I think it's fantastic. With only 8,000 kids in the game, how well you guys are doing. That just shows the potential that you have as you continue to grow. But it sounds like you've got a really good plan long term. It's not one of these quick things. It's got a long term plan. Kind of mention, and you talked about some of the things in the long term plan, but anything else you want to add in that plan that you guys have?
Well, great point. I mean, the early years of baseball, we had these 3-year goals to qualify for the Olympics, which was just, you consider, what, only 8 countries or something like that to get to play
in
the
Olympics? Six now.
Six, all right. So that was an insane goal to have. And so we finally stopped that and started saying, look, let's just build the base up and make it a pyramid. And the bigger the base is, the top players we'll have. And one of the neat things, and I hope maybe the show will be able to generate some more, there are New Zealanders living all around. You know, once a month I hear from someone who has a New Zealand passport but lived in Pasadena his whole life and, you know, is off to play junior college. I mean, any of your listeners, you know, make contact with us if you've got a New Zealand parent or your New Zealand parent stopped at an airport in New Zealand, we'll claim anything to get that. I saw how well Israel did with their recruitment of their players from around the world.
Absolutely. You know, and I was thinking about that because I know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, could be from New Zealand. They don't even know that there's baseball there. So we're going to put your information on the show notes. We will get it out on social media, hoping, you know, to reach as many people as we can. So somebody's contacting you. John, this has been awesome, man. You know what? You know more about New Zealand baseball than anybody else. So is there anything else out there that we should have mentioned in our, you know, to let our audience know about New Zealand baseball? Anything else? I know about the great athletes, you know, great coaches. You have great people because I've met them all. I met a lot of them. So you have a great nucleus of things going on, a super organization. Is there anything else there?
Well, look, we're starting to get some inquiries from now that the COVID travel, people are starting to look beyond the limitations of COVID. And, you know, some of these travel teams are looking to come down to Australia and New Zealand during the your winter, our summer. And so we would love to, on your way down, stop in Auckland. We'll line up as many games as you can play. We think it will help you. It'll definitely help us. And so feel free to contact me on those opportunities as well.
Great point. I'll tell you why, because I know I have teams that go around the world. We're going to look into that, and I can see, you know, stopping in New Zealand, going to, you know, Australia, and then coming back home and play, you know, two countries, you get a chance to play. And then obviously, and maybe we'll finish it with this. There's been some things, the coordination between Australia and New Zealand, with baseball, you know, they've done obviously some great things. They've been, you know, playing the game a lot longer. They've had a national certification program in all sports, I believe, for a long time. So how's that been going on with Australia?
Yes, it kind of reminds me of the rivalry between Canada and the U.S. I never knew there was rivalry between Canada and the U.S. when I started meeting Canadians who looked upon as a big brother that they always wanted to challenge. It's kind of that way here. The Kiwis are quite tight with Australians until they have to play them, and then that becomes the event of the year and we mark our calendar 20 years since we, you know, beat them in soccer and those type of things and celebrate those holidays. So they've been great to us. Again, they allowed us in that Australian Baseball League. They didn't need to do that, but I think they recognize the importance of making it more of a global league.
Absolutely. Great way to end it. John, this has been fantastic. Can't thank you enough, and also wish you guys the best. We'll be in touch also. Hopefully ISG will be back after the pandemic. We'll bring in some other top people to help educate coaches there. And thanks for being on the show, man. It's been awesome.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
All right, folks, John Follette, CEO of Baseball New Zealand. Also, thank you to not only John, but thanks to Brian Crock, our producer with the Line of Media Group. Thank you to everybody in the U.S. and around the world. We really appreciate it. Just don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com. That's where the audio is going to be. Subscribe. Then go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo. The video will be there. You can watch it more than once. And please subscribe, and thank you. And remember, we always end it this way. Stay healthy. Be safe. God bless you. And we'll see you on the next show.